verses 8 to 14 of Romans 13, which is on page 1140. Romans 13, starting at verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20, page 985 in the Church Bibles. Matthew 18, 15 to 20. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. If they will not listen to you, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? Yes? Good. Well done. Right. I feel like I've drawn the short straw this morning. I'm going to be talking about, I've called it, how do we discuss difficult issues? And I think, as you probably can realise, talking about sin is not one of the easiest things to talk about, particularly when we've got a lovely day outside like it is. You almost feel, well, I don't really want to do that. But we're going to do it. If I can get my iPad to decide to work, which would help, wouldn't it? I should have printed it out. Here we go. All right. So I'm going to talk about the first few verses of that Matthew passage that we had read to us, very well read to us. And it's not easy. But I think it's good to look at how Jesus would want us to approach very difficult issues which involve one another. I don't know how many of you have seen this case, this one that's coming up. You can read that. It's all about the Colleen Rooney, Rebecca Vardy case. Everybody heard about that? The Wagatha something. I can't remember exactly what it is. Very high profile celebrities on television and in the newspaper taking one another to court to claim damages off of one another, basically. And here is one of them. I suspect you think you can think of a few more very similar to that. We talk about this as a bit about washing our dirty linen in public. And for both parties, however wrong one party felt, you almost feel they could have sorted this out in a different way. Yeah? They could have done it in a different way rather than going into a courtroom. I think many will argue that the whole process is probably about money. But Jesus, in our passage today, gives us a different way of dealing with things that sin in the church that we can deal with, that doesn't start with going to the highest point in the chain and then coming down, but does justice in a fair way and that does little harm. So I really want to start by defining what we mean by sin. Because actually, we don't actually want to be pointing out to people what are actually disagreements or where we've had some feelings that have been hurt because of something someone may have said to us. That is not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is talking about sin. And there might be other ways of dealing with hurt and disagreement that we can do in a different way. So I'm going to give you an example of something that is very personal to me. Some of you ladies probably here are going to well understand what I mean. But before I had any of my children, I had a series of 3 miscarriages. Very painful. So lots of you nodding, you understand that it can be painful. But the biggest painful thing that can happen is the response you get from people in church. And I say that in a very delicate way, because I've been in the situation myself, but that can be. So what happens is people really fall into 3 categories. The first category, and perhaps the most difficult to deal with, is people who deliberately avoid you. And that in terms of, it's not just about not saying anything, it's about, oh, she's in the room, I will disappear off out. It's that abrupt. So that's the first thing that happens. And to be honest with you, I can see some people haven't got the words to say. They don't have the words to say. I know that now. And they are not able to deal with perhaps tearful situations. So they avoid doing that by coming out of it. This might be hurtful, but actually it's not sin. It's dealing with other people's... There's no intention here of sinning. It's dealing with other people's feelings. There were others who tried to be helpful, but their comments which they thought were helpful were actually not. If I give you an example, you could always try again. is one of them. The other one, it wasn't meant to be. I know people are comment. These are just comments, and I suspect lots of you think, well, maybe I can't see what's quite wrong with that. There isn't anything wrong with it. But at that time, when you are there, you are hurting quite a lot, and those comments don't actually help. What I needed was the people who just said, "I'm really sorry this has happened. I will pray for you." That actually is the thing that you want people to say. Now, the response that Jesus gives that we'll go into in the next bit isn't appropriate in this situation. Perhaps me standing here at this point in time, telling you about how I feel a long time away, is the best way to deal with that. Okay, so people now have an understanding of what that can mean to some people, and we dealt with it in that way. And it's a part of good pastoral care. We'll also have disagreements which we need to deal with. We can talk about this. I remember there was a disagreement in a PCC I was on many years ago, not here. We had a disagreement amongst people about the colour of the carpets. And I know it sounds really silly, but it was a disagreement. And the PCC talked about it and said, right, okay, the way we will deal with this is we will ask the church. We'll give them a vote. And that's exactly what we did. There was the most popular colour, that was the carpet that went down in the church. Dare I say, a couple of years later, there were some people saying, we should have had that other colour because it was darker and it wouldn't have shown up all the stains. I know it's really silly, but it's a disagreement, isn't it? Yeah, we're not going to have a process of having a talking about that. There's been disagreements at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. That will come up in a minute. I don't know whether you can see it. Oh, right, yes, you can. Can you see, if you look at the top of the picture where the windows are on the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, there is a ladder. Yeah, can you see that ladder? It's got five rungs. It has been there since 1728. Okay, in 1750, a ruling called the status quo, which is where we get our word from, status quo, came into being, which meant that because it was argued, it was a disagreement within the six denominations that actually control that church, it was decided the status quo had to be kept. Because it was there, it stays there. And nobody, it has been removed a couple of times apparently, but it's always been put back. So it is there, it has been there. It's, to me, it looks utterly, I can't see how it survived that time, but it has been there, and it can't be removed. Again, this is not the sort of disagreement Jesus is talking about. He's talking about sin. So even sin, defining it, can have huge consequences, because we're not sure, even over time, what we call sin could be. Me standing here preaching, for instance, might have been a sin 100 years ago, for a start. Women didn't preach. So there we go. So you see, it can be quite different. So we come back to what is sin. And let's get back to John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not within us. In truth, we are all sinners. In truth, that is what we all are. And we need to have some perspective about this. I think the reading from Romans that Pat read out to us today is very clear in defining something what sin is. And it is talking about the Ten Commandments, which was very much reflected in that Romans reading. But also, Jesus is very helpful summing up of those. Loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. The first commandment. And the second is loving your neighbour as yourself. And that's from Matthew 22, but repeated in Romans. And he gives very clear things about what sin is and what there should be. So once we understand what we're talking about, and we can identify someone that is sinning, Jesus gives us a structure in those first few verses of the Matthew reading for dealing with it. But under all this, there is grace. Okay, and I will come back to that, because having to deal with sin still needs to be done with grace and with grace in mind. While we are all sinners, we are all saved by grace. Ephesians 2 talks about that. So, the first thing Jesus says is that if you have to point out a sin or a fault, as he calls it in there, what you should do is talk directly to that person. That's the first thing you do. Now, you may, and I don't think this exams it, you may want to talk to somebody you trust and love about something before you actually go and talk to that person. I think that is what you may do, particularly if you're unsure. But the whole point is that when you talk to somebody, that you talk to them one-to-one. Because you might win them over. That is what the gospel, you might win them over. And if you've done that, what have you lost? Nothing. Because that person knows and repents, etc., and nobody else is involved. That person has had that chance to do that. So there's no drama, and it gives the person the space to be forgiven. But then Jesus said, that might not work. They may not take any notice. So what you then should do is take two or three trusted people with you. Now notice, this is still a very small group. There's no more than three. It comes from Jewish law, which said that if you wanted to accuse anybody of somebody, you needed two or three people to do that. So it comes from that Jewish law in that. Again, the same principle. if you can win somebody over with just two or three people, that's as far as it has gone. And you don't have to take that thought any further. But finally, he's talking about taking it to a much larger group. And although the translation, So if the translation of that word from the Greek actually is the word assembly. And probably at the time, church wasn't as it is today. There were much smaller groups of people. So you could have had a church, when he's talking about the church or the assembly, that could have been a group of about 12 to 20 people. So we are actually talking about, when we're talking about taking it to the church, taking it to a congregation of the size we might think about today. The ideas of larger churches didn't happen until much later. And there was never a question. Jesus doesn't talk about telling the whole town or the whole district. It is about the church and that little group they were in. So in our case, it may not mean that somebody goes and tells the whole church. It may be the leadership team. That might be the context in which we're talking about. And if, finally, what happens if after all those things, somebody still does not repent? Or come or accept that. Well, it says they are outcasts because they become pagan or tax collectors. Those are the two words used. But there is a way back. If you read the verses before the passage we've come to, you'll find it's about the lost sheep. Okay? And about the one sheep going astray. And and Jesus going and finding that lost sheep. I think it's in that place very well. It comes in there, thinking about this, they become that lost sheep. And where did Jesus do all his work? His work was done, tax collectors, pagans, lepers, all those people who were outcasts. So the fact that they're outside of God's people doesn't mean that we don't continue to care for them and we don't continue to minister them for them. We have a duty to ensure that we try to win them back. So that is ongoing. Taking our vision statement, we are called by Christ, committed to serve one another, and caring for our community. And we do that by leaving people a safe space to be able to come back again and allowing people to work in their lives. I think dealing with difficult conversations is never easy. But Jesus has given us a path to deal with them in a way which we can exercise grace and ensure that to have difficult conversations, we do them in a way that nurtures rather than condemns. And I think one of the things we need to do is to remember we are all sinners. All deserve the judgment of God. But by God's grace, we are saved. So, thinking about talking to people one-to-one first, then in a very small group, and then if that doesn't work, in a much larger group, but having the grace to always allow people to come back. There's the lyrics of, I think, one song, which I think just sums that up. There's a lot of pain, but a lot more healing. There's a lot of trouble, but a lot more peace. There's a lot of hate, but a lot more loving. There's a lot of sin, but a lot more grace. Outrageous grace. Love unfurled by heaven's hand. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you give us templates, you give us your word to help us to deal with situations that we find ourselves in. We ask, Lord, that as we consider your word, that you help us to be able to minister to people in the way we speak to them, the way we deal with them, and to remember that your outrageous grace is amongst us all the time. And where there is a lot of trouble and a lot of pain, you are there with so much more healing and so much more peace. And help us to approach those that we meet with that attitude. Amen.